We're also joined by renowned public radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Treasurer, one of your Democratic gubernatorial rivals, Angel Tavares, has called for the release of a limited partnership agreement between the City of Providence and a venture capital firm that you founded, Point Judith Capital, but which you're no longer a part of. Do you support the disclosure of that agreement?
Well, a couple things. First, you know, I would say that the City of Providence Pension Fund, I think, is about 30% funded and is often compared to Detroit. So I think what the mayor should do is focus on fixing that and making sure that people's pensions are secure. Having said that, I've been very clear about this. I think as treasurer, we've gone above and beyond to disclose everything that we're allowed to disclose. And I think, you know, with respect to all of these contracts, the public deserves to know. We've disclosed everything we can. There are bits of these contracts which contain confidential information, and I do think it's important to respect the terms of contracts that you've signed.
It sounds like you're saying that you don't think this limited partnership agreement should be disclosed.
Well, I'm sure some of it can be disclosed, but again, when you sign a confidentiality agreement, you ought to respect that agreement. So I agree with the mayor. I think what the mayor has said, you know, we want to disclose more. I think we should always disclose all that we're allowed to disclose, which is what I've done. I mean, under my tenure as treasurer, first time ever, we've put all of our fees online. We've put our documents online. We've gone above and beyond with respect to transparency, so much so that the Rhode Island state pension system is one of the most transparent in the country because of the steps I've taken.
How about disclosing the state's own investment agreement with Point Judith? Would you support that?
I support disclosing everything we're allowed to disclose, which is to say there are certain bits of these contracts, like any contracts, they contain personnel information, they contain strategy information. If you sign a contract that says we're going to keep this confidential, you have to respect those contracts.
Let's go to Scott.
You understand this industry. Why is there so much obfuscation in venture capital? And why the secrecy? I just don't get this, particularly when they're dealing with a public pension system.
It's a good question. And again, I've been an advocate as treasurer to really push the envelope on disclosure.
No, I understand that, but I'm asking you, as someone who understands this industry intimately, since you worked in it, why do these folks require so much secrecy?
Yeah, I don't necessarily know that they do.
But they sign these contracts with confidentiality, so they must care about it. Why do they care so much?
You know, I think it's similar. It's a strategy. You know, it's a strategy. If you're an inventor, if you're making a new piece of software, you're not going to release your code online because there's certain strategies that they have which allow them to perform for their investors, in this case, to make money so people's pensions are there. And I think there's a fear that if they let out their strategy and people copy them, then they'll be less able to do their job.
You've talked in your campaign for governor about standing up to Wall Street. How do you square that with policies you've supported as treasurer that have resulted in large lucrative fees for hedge fund managers?
Well, everything that we've done, that I've done as treasurer, has been to protect people's pensions. And the moves that the State Investment Commission has made around investments have been designed to diversify the portfolio. You know, you have to remember the year before I took office, the return was about a negative 25%.
Well, yeah, because Wall Street crashed. That
wasn't
the treasurer's
exactly
fault.
Well, if they had been more diversified, what we have shown, what our investment consultants have shown, is that if the portfolio that we have now had been in place then, we would have saved $500 million, $500 million of people's money. Last year, our return was positive 14%. Yes, the stock market was up, but it's a more diversified, safe portfolio.
But it's also the case that the Massachusetts state pension system and Harvard University had significant hedge fund investments, and they took hits of about 25-29% around the downturn in 2008-2009. Given that, why is it realistic to expect that a stake in hedge funds will do a better job of protecting Rhode Island's pension fund?
I don't know the details of Massachusetts and Harvard. I'm just telling you the fact that if we had had this portfolio in place during the crash, we would have saved for the people of Rhode Island and for the hardworking state employees of Rhode Island $500 million. So my position is this. I'm not going to make investment decisions on the basis of what's good politics for me. We have to make good investment decisions on the basis of what's going to allow us to pay pension checks. And that's, you know, just like pension reform. You know, pension reform was a difficult thing to do politically, but it was the right thing to do. The other thing I should say, because there's a lot of confusion, the pension system here has been invested in these what are called alternative assets since 1984. This isn't new. They've been paying these fees to Wall Street since 1984. I think it's important that we put it in perspective and just look at the results. 14% return last year, less risk after paying all the fees.
We're talking here with State Treasurer and Democratic gubernatorial candidate Gina Raimondo. Back to Scott.
You know, there's a lot of talk about inequality. Certainly in Rhode Island, we're seeing we've become a state of have littles and have mores. And unfortunately, every candidate tries to see what you can do about it. Besides raising the minimum wage, what else would you pursue?
Yes, it's a great question. And I agree with you on that. What, you know, I'm all about reviving the economy. But while we revive the economy, we have to make sure nobody's left behind. And that means affordable housing. You know, I think you remember I was a big advocate of the affordable housing bond. We need to make sure people have a safe, secure place to live. It means getting rid of payday lenders. I'm going to go at that again this legislative session, just like I have the last two. It means funding public transportation, public schools, after school programs.
How much of the decline of private sector unionism do you think has pushed inequality?
Certainly a component. I think it is absolutely a component. And I think another component of it is that we need to invest in public buses, public libraries, public schools, after school programs, affordable housing, in order to level the playing field so people have a chance and people have opportunity. They need education so they can get skills so they can get a job.
We know how Rhode Island's third largest source of state revenue, gambling, is facing a big threat from Massachusetts as that state gears up. What would you do as governor to try and protect that source of revenue?
That I worry about that. You know, and as treasurer, I do the state's bonding. And when you go out to float a bond, the first question is, how's Twin River doing? So although I feel we need an economic development plan that creates stable jobs in growing sectors, I also think we need to protect the revenue source that is Twin River. And right now, you know, I've talked to the people that run Twin River. They have a plan with respect to adding the table games, and they feel that they're going to be able to keep those, to keep that stable. So I think we need to continue to support them so that revenue line stays stable. You know, we can't change what Massachusetts is going to do. So we need to get ready for that and act urgently now to get a strategy in place to keep our revenue stable.
On the transparency issue, we are coming up this time of the season, and I'm wondering, how come, do you plan this year to release your personal tax return?
Yes, I have every year, and we'll do it again this year.
There seems to be concern in the General Assembly about footing the tab for Rhode Island's version of Obamacare when that bill comes due, possibly $24 million in down the road. How do you think the state should respond to that?
Well, I think, again, this is a thing that Rhode Island needs to get better at in general. We know that's coming, so let's make a plan for it. So what I would say is this. We need to figure out, does the exchange need to be that expensive? As I understand it, the exchange that's being contemplated now is kind of the Cadillac plan. So the first question is, are we getting our money's worth? Does it need to, what are the people of Rhode Island getting for having all the bells and whistles in terms of access to care, quality of care, affordability? And if we determine that it's worth the investment, then we're going to have to find an equitable, sustainable way to fund it.
Would you consider a tax on insurance policies?
I would not like to do that. I think that that would put a burden on people. So I'd like to try to avoid that if possible.
One of the things manufacturers talk about all the time are high utility rates.
Yeah.
Now, we're looking, compared to other places in the country, we're quite a bit higher. And one of the questions I have is, should we be investing in these offshore wind things, or is it smarter to buy Canadian hydropower, which is cheaper?
One of the things that I have proposed that I will do once elected governor is to establish a green bank. And what a green bank will do is be a centralized place for the state to centralize expertise around alternative energy, green technology, and energy efficiency. And it will also be a way to attract private capital to invest in alternative energy and energy efficiency. The state needs a strategy.
We know how the Superman building in downtown Providence is vacant and the owner is expected to come back with a new plan shortly for trying to attract state help. Should public dollars be used as a plan to reuse that building?
We have an empty building. It's an iconic building. Every time I go there, I get sick looking at it. It may be that we need to provide incentives, well-structured incentives, to fill the building, and I think we should be open to it. But I think we should have been talking about that years ago so we wouldn't be on our knees with an empty building.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And State Treasurer and Democratic gubernatorial candidate Gina Raimondo.
Thanks, guys.